Welcome to the B2B Influence Spotlight on Industry Game Changers podcast. I'm Paula Keoki, founder and CEO of Outward Media. Outward Media is a trusted data partner to Fortune 2000 businesses and startups alike. We provide the highest quality audience data to fuel engaged, integrated, omnichannel campaigns. Our mission is to deliver real data, real results, and invaluable reach to real people. Welcome, everyone. I'm Paula Keoki, CEO of Outward Media. This is the podcast, The Marketing Vanguard, Leading Voices in B2B Innovation. Today, we're fortunate to have Brandon Leibowitz as our guest. He is principal owner of SEO Optimizers and has actually been doing this for over 17 years. Not a discipline that OMI provides, so we're very excited to get Brandon's perspective on the evolution of SEO and what he's currently doing for our audience. Welcome, Brandon.
Thank you for having me on today.
You're welcome. So let's start. Brandon, how do you approach scaling SEO and paid media strategies for smaller businesses versus larger enterprises?
With paid advertising, that just comes down to like a smaller business. They probably have a smaller budget, so we have to not be able to test as much as we would with a bigger company that has a bigger budget, because each click it's costing you money, or every impression is costing you money, and you can't afford to be losing money on those. So the smaller budget, I would recommend really more of remarketing, okay, engaging with people that have been to a website but didn't do a specific action. So if you've gone to a website and you didn't buy a product and you see those ads falling around, that's done through remarketing. And those ads are low-hanging fruit, where a lot of people have come to your website and left and didn't do a specific conversion action. If you could follow them around and keep yourself top of mind, those ads are much cheaper and work better than cold outreach. With a bigger company, I would say let's do both. But with a smaller one, I'd be like, let's go for the low-hanging fruit, retarget your audience as much as possible. And then if you have extra budget, let's try to see if we could run some cold outreach and start capturing new leads into your funnel. But with SEO, it's a little bit different. With a smaller, larger budget, it comes down to building trust with Google. And a big part of SEO is building backlinks, get Google to trust you. And if you have a bigger budget, that means we could spend more money, more time building backlinks, because backlinks are kind of like digital PR just for Google to see that you're published on other third-party sites. And a lot of these websites, when you reach out to them to build relationships and collaborations, they want some compensation for their time of updating their website. And the bigger websites want more compensation. So if we have a bigger budget, we could afford to pay some of these other websites to help move the needle or sponsor events and trade shows as a way to build backlinks. And if you're a small company, you can't really afford to, I mean, you should, and you could try to, but sometimes sponsoring a trade show could cost like $20,000. That gets you an SEO backlink, which really moves you up the rankings in Google. It's a very expensive way to get a backlink. Hopefully you could get some clients from networking in person, but those backlinks are invaluable for SEO.
Is there other ways to get them? But I think I read a while back that some people tried to offer that service, is getting backlinks. Is that still out there?
No, there's so many different ways to build backlinks. It's really just trying to get creative and figure out, how can I get another website to mention me? Which that is difficult, but the best way, or the first starting point I like to go after, is my competitors' backlinks, because there are tools out there that will let you see any website's backlinks. I could see your backlinks using tools and you could see mine. Okay. So if we're trying to compete with one another, you would look at my backlinks, I would look at yours and try to figure out, how did you get these backlinks? Did you sponsor an event? Did you join a chamber of commerce or the BBB, or you on Yelp, or did you do a podcast, or did you write a blog post or an interview? Whatever it is, you could reverse engineer your competitor strategies and try to replicate the ones that you think are going to be relevant and authoritative.
And is that work that you provide as well?
Yep. So with SEO, one of the most important things is building backlinks.
It's backlinks. Okay.
Got to get Google to trust you.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. When you talk about budget, small versus large, what is a typical, in your opinion, small budget required even for a small business to be able to even participate in SEO versus a larger budget that, say, a mid-market or Fortune 2000 could afford? What is the range in there?
It really varies depending on the competition
Okay.
of those keywords, because that's what kind of lets you know how much work needs to be done. If you're in Los Angeles and you're a restaurant, there's a lot of competition, but there's only 10 spots on that first page of Google.
Okay.
Whereas if you're a restaurant in some small town where there's only maybe a few other restaurants, less competition, less time to that's needed to move you up those rankings. So I would really look at the businesses in terms of who your competition is. And the more competitive it is, that means you're going to need to invest more time and money to get up there. And that could vary, but usually a good starting point is maybe like around 1,000 a month, depending on those keywords. If it's more competitive, you're going to need to put more in there. If it's less competitive, then you can actually get away with spending less.
Okay, so a small business could look at least that's a starting point.
Somewhere in that range to be able to move the needle.
Okay,
Otherwise,
which is the whole purpose, right?
yeah, you have to spend money on backlinks. You have to write articles and you have to pay bloggers to publish these articles. And all those have costs, or you could join your chamber of commerce to build a backlink. You have to pay that chamber a few hundred dollars every year. So there's not really any free backlinks. You're always giving away something in exchange, whether it's your time, money, or other goods exchanged. But there's no
Some
real
sort
free
of
back.
barter going on there.
Yep.
Okay. So now, are you currently using Google Ads customer match feature or uploaded audience segments to enhance your targeting?
Yeah, I'll upload email lists. So
Okay.
if I get people that subscribe to my email list, I'll add them to my remarketing list and follow you around the internet anywhere you go, whether it's on Facebook or Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google, YouTube, or any of the websites that show banner ads on the internet. They have all partnered with Google, or most of them have. So if you go to any website that shows banner ads, you'll see my ads if you've been to my website before or signed
Okay.
up for my email list.
And the emails that you upload, are those more because we're in the B2B data business, but we've matched the B2B to the B2C data because the B2C data is what fuels the programmatic and advertising and social media. How does that work with an SEO? Do you need, can you use the B2B email and the B2C email, or do you have to use one or the other?
With SEO, it's ranking you organically
Okay.
on search engines. So when you search on Google, the ads at the top, those are all the paid ads where you could upload lists and say, I only want to show my ads to these audiences. But right
Okay.
below that, the organic listings, you can't control to Google saying, I don't even want to show my organic to these people. Google's going to just show it to anybody searching for your keywords.
But from the email perspective, are you using the consumer email and the B2B email or either or both? The actual emails you upload, are they corporate emails or more the personal email?
It's whatever they subscribe to the list with.
Okay.
So
And
some
that
people
match, it'll match, the B2B emails will match.
with Google and Meta, I
It will.
believe so. I'm not sure how they check it. Usually it gets 96% rate, whereas like
Awesome.
most of them match, but there's always some weird fake names that people put in or fake emails, and
Oh, I've seen them. Yeah.
they have some very strange ones,
It's
but
some very strange ones over the years. So, what kind of results have you seen from that approach? Do you find that to be overly successful?
with the Google Ads, when you upload custom audiences through email lists,
Yes.
seems to work pretty good for
Really?
remarketing.
Okay.
That's how I like to do it, is follow people around, and if they've been to your website, retarget them. But also, if you've got their emails, you could upload them.
Yeah, I've been followed around a few times where I actually did perform the action and complete the buy. It does work.
It is the most effective type of ad, I feel, is warm leads. You're not going to pay for cold outreach. People have been to your website or subscribed to your email list or somehow know about you. So when you run those ads, you're not just doing that cold outreach where you're just hoping somebody's going to want to buy from you, because getting traffic to your website is the first step in
Right.
marketing. But after that, how do you get somebody to convert? That's the tough part. And getting Google to trust you with SEO, it's not that difficult if done properly, but getting people to trust you enough to want to buy or call you, email you, that's tricky.
Especially if you're not like a hugely recognized brand, right? So,
That's where conversion rate optimization comes into play, and trying to build trust on your website for people as well as Google.
So that's you just hit on something very key to build the trust. So can you elaborate a little bit on and how you approach building the trust?
Usually with reviews,
Okay.
testimonials, embedding, anything to showcase that other case studies that other people have worked with you or know who you are and have seen results from you. So if you have Google reviews on Google Business Profile or Yelp or any third-party site, you could embed those or take screenshots of them and showcase them on your website and just anything to help make it easy to find you as well. If you're an e-commerce website, you got a lot of people that come to me and we work together and there's no phone number on their website. There's no contact us page. And just like you have to think, if you're going to buy something, why would somebody want to buy off your website when they could just go on Amazon
Yeah.
and buy it from there? You have to really build trust. And getting people to trust you for e-commerce is tough nowadays because Amazon makes it too easy to check out and
Yeah.
they already have all your information. If it's needing any help or returns, they'll take care of it for you.
So
And
easy.
if there's no contact us page on a website that's trying to be e-commerce selling products, then people aren't going to trust you. They're going to just be like, I don't know what's going to happen if my credit card gets approved or what's going to happen. Are you going to take my credit card number and use it on other things? Am I going to get the product that I'm paying for? It's tough to build trust.
I'm surprised when we go to websites today and there's no people on there who you're doing business with. People kind of want to. Do you recommend that to your clients as well? People kind of want to see who's behind the company. Do you recommend
Putting
that they put their face on there?
a face behind the company is always great. That's how social media became so popular, is their websites, and people are just like, all right, I could buy off Amazon or I could buy from Best Buy, but there might be this BobsTV.com that Bob's TV might have been around for 80 years. And you're just like, who's Bob's TV? And back then, there was no real way to build trust. But when social media or networking came out with Facebook, they let you create Facebook pages. And that was a way to put a face behind the company where you could communicate with the company. It became like the web 2.0 where you could engage with websites, because before then it was just a website. There was not much you could do. Now there's like chat features, they're very engaging. But before then, Facebook was a way to put that face behind the company and build that trust. So I always tell people you got to have a presence on social media. And if you could put your face on your website just to help people know that there's somebody really there that could help you out if something goes wrong, goes a long
I'm
way.
hesitant if I don't see anybody behind the website. I think to me that's like the number one thing to get started with is who's behind the company. Yeah. So with so many businesses competing for visibility online, what role does audience data play in building more precise and effective SEO and PPC campaigns from your perspective?
Yeah, the more you know about your audience, the more you're going to be able to target the right keywords, figure out what keywords they're searching for when they're actively looking for your product or service. You could see where what demographics are in, and you could try to optimize your pages around that by building pages targeting those cities or localities where people might be searching. I'm in Los Angeles doing SEO. If I want to rank for SEO company in New York, it's going to be very difficult. Unless I create a page on my website, then Google says, okay, I see that you have a page about SEO in New York. So that helps me using Google Analytics. I can look at my audience demographics and see where they're located and see if I maybe should create a page about SEO in San Francisco because there's a lot of tech there or different areas where your audiences might be. Using third-party tools like Google Analytics, which is free to use, will help you dive in there and then you could custom tailor your audience or your targeting to that audience to make sure you send them the right messaging.
And so you map all that out for your clients, right?
Yeah, using tools like Google Analytics, we could look at the demographics, and there's lots of other analytical tools out there that you could use, but Google Analytics is free and it gives you a wealth of information about what platform people are on, if they're on Chrome or Safari, what browser, what language they speak, what city and what state, and how long they stay on your pages, what pages they visit. So you could really optimize and against that to figure out what's working and what's not working and how to just improve your website to get more conversions.
It would seem like that's just ongoing, right? This the optimization part of it, that's one of your expertise, right? Just the optimization too.
We always have to be going in and can't really just set it and forget it because your competition is going to try to outrank you. And there's only 10 spots on that first page of Google in the SEO organic results. And Once you push somebody off of page two, they're not happy about that. And they're going to look at what you've done and try to outrank you. So you always have to look at your data and also your competitors and try to figure out how do I keep myself as high up as possible in those rankings.
So, question for you. When I look for a company and then three companies come up before them, is somebody's paying to be there before the actual company I'm looking for? Is that part of it? SEO, or I don't know.
If it says ad on when you're searching on Google or it says sponsored, then those are all
So they
paying
push those to the
clicks.
top, right?
If it doesn't say ad, then those are the SEO ones.
I
But
would imagine that's expensive to get that real estate as a paid ad.
depending on the keywords, some will be a couple cents per click, some will be a couple dollars per click, some will be $100 for one click. It can get quite expensive. It's all about finding those low cost keywords, which are there are not many of them out there now.
I remember that Heyday mortgage was like what, $10? Or it was. It may have gone up since those days, but I remember that mortgage clicks were like $10 a click or something at one time to get a refinance. So you want a good quality lead to be behind that, right? So how are you guiding your clients today when it comes to developing omni-channel marketing strategies to tie SEO, content, and retargeting together?
You don't want to just put all your eggs in one basket. You want to get traffic from as many places as possible. So with SEO, I'll get you traffic, but I've realized over the years that you don't really care about traffic. You want conversions, sales, leads, phone calls, emails, whatever that conversion goal is. Not just trying to focus on SEO, but trying to follow people around, keeping yourself top of mind through marketing, building an email list, and with social media, trying to just have as many touch points as possible. Because even off, it doesn't have to be online. That's all online, but you can do offline marketing as well and have more touch points through radio or TV or whatever medium that you want to go after where your audience may be with mail and just trying to really try to think about who your audience is, where are they active, and how can I get in front of them at the right moments? Because you don't need to be everywhere, but you definitely want to be where your audience is. And nowadays, your audience is definitely online. Most people
Definitely.
are online, and if you're not online, you're missing out by having your competitors taking that traffic from you.
For sure. So, in the next couple of years, is AI going to impact SEO, do you think? Over the
Yep.
next couple of years, are you seeing that now, or do you think it's going to have an impact in the next couple of years?
AI is going to change a lot of things, but we'll have to see if people start using AI to search instead of using Google, but Google has AI in their search results, and we'll just have to see how people behave and what people start using in the future. Google doesn't want to give up that market share to ChatGPT or anything else, so
I don't think they do.
no, they're going to hold on to that as much as, or try to hold on to it as much as they can.
And we'll see what the government trying to take a look at Google in terms of maybe they're too big. We'll see where that goes as well. But yeah, because a lot of people are moving to ChatGPT, but I didn't know they were using it for a search feature. We use it, but we use it more for copy. So is there anything in the next 2 years that you think, as you see the business grow, is there anything that you could predict that you might be happening in the next couple of years for your business? Or is it just as it evolves daily, or how do you look at that?
Yeah, no, we'll have to keep up to date with all the new changes because in the past it was always Google that ran the show, or Bing would be trying to catch up to those rankings, and Yahoo or DuckDuckGo was starting to pick up as of recently for privacy issues. But with AI and large language models, we'll have to see if people are going to keep using Google or they're going to switch over. But Google already has AI in their search results. But we'll have to see if people are going to stick with Google or just use ChatGPT because ChatGPT wants to take over and wants that market share that Google has. So just trying to figure out where people are going to be going. As long as people are searching online or anywhere, there's ways to optimize for that. So it doesn't matter if you're ranked searching on Yelp or Amazon or YouTube, I could still help with those rankings. And there's lots of other places. So it's just evolving with the how people behave and just seeing what the trends are and just trying to adapt to that.
And as each generation comes on, where we got mostly Gen Z now, millennials, how they change it as well, how their search habits change as well. So if somebody wants to have a chat with you about your services, how do they find you,
I
Brian?
create a special gift for everybody. if they go to my website at SEOoptimizers.com forward slash gift.
Okay.
That's SEO OPT IMIZERS.com forward slash gift. And they can find that gift there along with my contact information and a bunch of classes I've done over the years. I've thrown up
Okay.
for free. So you could see step by step how to do a lot of stuff that we talked about. And also, if you do have a website, I'm happy to check it out from an SEO point of view. And you can book some time on my calendar there for free as well.
Awesome. Awesome. And do you want to share your email address as well?
It's Brandon at SEOoptimizers.com, but everything is on that page.
It's on that page. Okay. Brandon, this has been great. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you informing our audience about SEO.
Thank you for having me on.
Okay. Hi, I'm Paula Keoki, and thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, share it on social media and don't forget to rate or review the podcast wherever you listen. Your feedback helps us grow and inspire others. If you're a successful business leader or marketing professional with insights to share, we'd love to feature you as a guest. Visit outwardmedia.com/podcast to learn more. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode and connect with us on social media to join the conversation. Visit outwardmedia.com to explore how we can help take your strategic audience building to the next level. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.